So as many of you know, expedited partner therapy is a partner management strategy to treat sex partners of those patients that are diagnosed with chlamydia. And the patient is given medication or a prescription by a provider for that patient to deliver to his or her partner without the partner being seen, evaluated, or examined by the provider. There have been numerous observational and randomized control trials looking at EPT in heterosexual populations for chlamydia, gonorrhea, and trich, and they've looked at both clinical and behavioral outcomes. And compared to patient or self-referral, whereby a patient would tell their partner to go into a doctor for treatment, EPT has been shown to decrease reinfection in the index patient, to increase the proportion of sex partners that are treated, and although this hasn't been specifically studied, we would assume that it's getting treatment to sex partners who are the ones that are most unlikely to seek care. New York City Department of Health worked really closely with the New York State Department of Health for years to get EPT legalized, and it was finally legalized after two legislative sessions in January of 2009. Some important partners for us were the New York State Board of Pharmacy, the Medical Society of the State of New York, and numerous professional organizations such as AAP, ACOG, the Society for Adolescent Health and Medicine, and our family planning partners. Key elements of the EPT law in New York State were that it was for chlamydia only. It required us to develop regulations to accompany the law, and as you'll see in a second, those regulations didn't come out until almost a year after the actual law did. And those regulations required New York State to develop materials for both patients and partners. The EPT law also included a liability clause and a sunset clause, so it was essentially a five-year law that will expire at the end of 2013. So for that reason, it behooves us to collect as much evaluation data as possible over these coming years since we've implemented so that we can go forth to Congress again and hopefully get it passed permanently this time. The regulations were adopted in October 2010 and stated that EPT should not be given to people concurrently infected with gonorrhea or syphilis. It specified what information needed to appear in the partner materials, and it specified the particulars of prescribing EPT, which was that the actual term EPT needed to be written in the body of the script, that providers were allowed to give scripts that did not contain partner name, date of birth, or address, and that pharmacists would be able to fill scripts that didn't have any of that identifying information. So taking those regulations, the New York City Department of Health STD clinics developed our own criteria for who we would give EPT to at our clinics. And those people considered eligible were heterosexual patients with laboratory-confirmed chlamydia. Now, the bill itself or the law itself actually specified that clinical diagnoses of chlamydia as well as lab-confirmed chlamydia could be given EPT, but we chose to do it just for laboratory-confirmed only. And that was because we took a look at our electronic medical record data and found out that basically a very high percentage, I think it was somewhere around 70% or so, of persons who are presumptively treated for chlamydia were not, in fact, laboratory-confirmed cases. And so our providers felt more comfortable giving EPT to those that were lab-confirmed. Patients who report testing positive for chlamydia at another facility with written documentation or confirmation in a surveillance registry will also be eligible. Those who are not eligible are persons diagnosed with gonorrhea or syphilis at the time, MSM due to lack of data in this population and the risk of STD-HIV co-infection, women who have sex with women also due to lack of data and low probability of transmission of chlamydia. So in New York City, we developed our partner packs, which are these. They're not the prettiest partner packs, but we're working on that. So in the partner pack, it contains azithromycin, some STD clinic information, male condoms, and a guide for partners that I'll talk about in a second, but we worked really closely with Partner Care and American Edge to develop the materials. Up to three partner packs are provided to eligible patients, and those who are over 18 can also receive an additional three prescriptions. The patient materials, as I mentioned, are given directly to the patient from the provider, and they cover topics like what is chlamydia and what are the sequelae, what is EPT, why are you getting this medication, what to do if your partner won't take it, or if your partner has questions, you know, to advise your partner to go to the doctor. The partner materials that are included in the packs are given to the partner, and they also include some similar information, but also information about what is the actual medication, how do you take it, what are risks of allergy and adverse events, and certainly who to call with questions, and also advises them to seek care. So as I mentioned, the RCTs that have been done on EPT looked at some behavioral outcomes, and one of those outcomes was, according to the patient, do partners receive and take EPT? And many of these studies measured whether or not the patient would report that it was likely that their partner, in fact, got EPT. And the range was 65 to 86% of these patients in the RCTs reported that their partner was very likely treated. However, there's limited data on partner receipt of EPT in real-world settings, i.e., asking the partner themselves, did you get EPT, did you take it, and what did you do afterwards? To our knowledge, the only study that's looked at this thus far has been one in California and family planning population where they looked at partners of EPT-managed patients. And similarly to the RCTs, they found that the patient reported high rates of partner EPT treatment at around 80%. And this was corroborated with partner report, but it was a very small sample for patients that were partners of EPT-managed patients. So our objectives were to determine whether partners receive EPT from patients, whether they take the medication, and how frequently they visit a provider after taking EPT. Patients who are treated for lab-confirmed chlamydia who received EPT were interviewed by public health advisors at our STD clinics between May 2011 to February 2012. Sex partner name and phone numbers were elicited, and partners with locatable phone numbers were given to EPT follow-up survey interviewer. And that interviewer called the partners 5 days after EPT was given to the patient to allow time for the patient to give EPT to their partner. And a total of 3 attempts were made to contact the partner. Selected survey questions included EPT delivery. Did a sex partner give you medication to treat yourself for chlamydia? EPT acceptance. Did you actually take the medicine? Medical problems resulting from EPT. Physician follow-up post-EPT acceptance after receiving EPT, did you go to a doctor? And materials receipt and comprehension. For analyses, I'll describe a description of our analytic sample, which we arrived at using electronic medical record data, MAVEN, which is our surveillance and case investigation reporting system data, and our partner follow-up survey database. We conducted univariate analyses to describe the demographic characteristics of the sample and the primary survey outcomes. And bivariate analyses were conducted to examine associations between the survey outcomes and age and sex, which unfortunately were really 2 of our only independent variables for this survey. And all analyses were conducted in SAS. So we had a total of 671 EPT-eligible patients at those selected clinics at which we were doing patient interviews during that time period. 26% of them were male and 74% female. Of those that were EPT eligible, 52% actually accepted EPT. And Julie Schillinger is going to be talking a little bit more about EP uptake tomorrow morning. I think it's session D4. So if you're interested in that, you can go hear her. It's similar male to female breakdown. And then of those that accepted EPT, we interviewed 50%, N equals 174. And of those that were interviewed, 70% reported partners. There were 122. OPs that reported partners. And so there was a similar sex breakdown at each of these steps. Of the 122 persons reporting partners, they reported 150 locatable partners. And as you would expect, since this is among heterosexuals only, there was basically the inverse sex distribution, 67% male partners and 33% female partners. So we tried to reach all of those 150 persons, and we were able to reach and interview 66 of them, which was 44%, with, again, about 70% male and 30% female breakdown. The median age overall was 23 years, with males being 22, females 23 and a half, in a range of 16 to 19. And there was no significant difference in interview response rates by age or sex. Our primary outcomes were looking at whether or not the partner received EPT and took EPT. Of those that were interviewed, 74% reported receiving EPT, and of those that received EPT, 94% reported actually taking the EPT medication. Of those that took the EPT medication, 4% reported medical problems. That was only an N of 2. 23% reported visiting the doctor after having taken EPT. Of those that had not visited a doctor yet, 100% told us that they planned to. And of those that had took EPT, 93% reported reading the materials and all of them understanding the materials. So we conducted bivariate analyses by age and sex. None of the age-related analyses were significant in any way, so I'm not going to show them here, but I did want to highlight some of the analyses by sex. There was one major variable that was significantly different between males and females, and that was visits to the doctor after EPT taken. 46% of females reported visiting the doctor versus 13% of males. So our limitations were that it was a small sample size, there was potentially selection bias since 50% of those receiving EPT were interviewed, and fewer were reported partners, and then fewer were even located. So that limits our generalizability. There was also potentially response bias since unexpected high reported rates of planning to visit the doctor and understanding the materials. And lastly, there weren't that many people who received EPT that didn't take it, but we did not actually assess reasons why EPT was not taken among this group. So in conclusion, majority of the partners reported having received EPT. Most of them actually took the medicine, which was consistent with the California study. There were few medical problems, and almost half of all female partners reported seeing a doctor after taking EPT, which is hopeful for us because it lessens a concern about missing PID, and the materials were well-read and understood. We stopped the interviews at the end of February due to competing PHA priorities, and we might consider repeating it. Ongoing, we're working on STD, looking at EPT uptake at STD clinics, and promoting and evaluating EPT more broadly through a survey of federally qualified health centers that we're working on with Ciccatelli Associates and CDC. And this is just our website. There's a lot of materials on here for patients, partners, and providers and pharmacists that I encourage you to take a look at and certainly feel free to use in your own jurisdictions. And I'd like to acknowledge everybody at the New York City Health Department who's worked on implementing tirelessly EPT and this analysis. Thank you very much.
Yeah. This is open for questions at this point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. NYC.gov/health/EPT. So we give out EPT actually in a pack with medicine to for patients up to three partners, and then if they're 18 or over, we will additionally give three prescriptions. We ran some analyses in our electronic medical record looking at median number of partners, and for women it was around one, and for men it was around 1.4 or something, so that was why we arrived at those numbers. But you know, after implementing EPT and being able to give out up to three packs, and Julie will talk more about this tomorrow, we haven't found people taking that many more than two.
Hi, still have a question tonight after a great presentation. Did you have to get IRB approval to make the follow-up calls, or was that part of your regular clinical?
No, we didn't, because we considered it evaluation. Essentially, as far as our IRB works, and Sue and Julie can jump in here if you want to, but if we're collecting and utilizing the data for evaluation purposes and the data are not necessarily going to be used to be generalized to a larger population, then we're allowed to do that without obtaining IRB approval.
Yeah, I mean, I would just add to that, that you know, we have the authority
I'm sorry, we're running out of time for questions. We're going to have to go on to the next speaker. Is it quick?
All I wanted to know is if you treat patients on their first visit, so it's obviously if you're doing it waiting for a clinical or a laboratory diagnosis, they have to come make a second trip.
Mm-hmm.
So are they coming back for treatment as well? Or
mm-hmm.
are they coming back to pick up a partner pass?
Right. So for the most part, the data, the people that are receiving EPT are